Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. Again, this is James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, and we're delighted to have you here talking about a very important topic. Yesterday, we began a two-part program having to do with grandparenting. I'm sure there are a lot of grandparents listening to us now, and yesterday's program was so inspirational, and our guest was Kevin Harper, who is not only a grandfather himself, but he's the founder and executive director of the Christian Grandparenting Network. Kevin is also a nationally known speaker and author who strives to help grandparents intentionally and authentically represent Christ to their grandchildren and their families. What more important topic can there be than that? One other unique activity that Kevin is well known for is something he calls Summer Grand Camp Program, where grandparents and their grandchildren experience summer camp together. And that sounds like a great idea to me. I'd like to take my grandchildren there on one of these occasions. I've got two of them. You have nine.
I do.
Nine. Yeah, well, you're well qualified to talk about this subject.
Yeah, most of them have been through it.
And your wife is named Diane.
Diane.
And she's also worked in grandparenting camps.
She has. She's been a critical part of that whole process.
All right. I want to start today with something extremely important because this is the 11th of September today. And we're only 2 days away from the National Grandparents' Day of Prayer. That's a Sunday, obviously, this being Friday. And we want to kind of flesh that out so people know what that means. What should grandparents be thinking about and doing 2 days from now? They should do it every day.
Amen.
But let's start with that. And I have some questions I want to ask you about it. First, explain it.
About 5 years ago, we recognized that many people didn't even know there was a National Grandparents' Day in this country that Jimmy Carter proclaimed in 1978. And so we started out just thinking, well, what can we do?
That day actually started with a White House initiative.
It was a White House proclamation, yeah. And most people don't even know that, and so few churches were doing anything about it. So our initial objective was just to call people's attention to that. But we thought, well, now, it's great that we can honor grandparents, but wouldn't it be wonderful if we could use this day as a call to grandparents to get on their knees and pray for their grandchildren, their children, all their families, even their churches, their schools, just to pray that God would awaken them to the truth that they might walk in it. Wouldn't it be great if we could get all these grandparents together and have some events at their church, in little small groups in their neighborhoods, and just be praying? And so Lillian Penner, who is our national prayer coordinator, really came up with this vision and has been working feverishly to make this happen. So this is our fifth year. And what we're doing is calling grandparents just to gather together, to link arms and pray together, because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And so that's the whole purpose, just to pray.
There are undoubtedly many pastors out there who don't know about this day. I am embarrassed to tell you I've learned about it from you, and it is something I wish I'd known before. We really should urge pastors who are catching this program, or maybe church members who are hearing it and can call and tell the pastor about it, to mention Grandparents' Day of Prayer and what it's about, and where can they find more material on it? It's coming up very quickly.
It's coming up quickly. I mean, there's still time to put some things together. They can actually go to our main website, which is ChristianGrandparenting.net, or they can go to GrandparentsDayOfPrayer.com, and they'll find resources there that help them understand how how a Grandparents' Day of Prayer works. It's really very basic, very simple. We actually took some of those ideas from someone named Shirley Dobson. And just a way of very simply getting people together and just praying. Mm. And so they can go to that website and download any of that stuff.
Well, if people don't have a pen or paper to write that down, we will give that information again at the end of the program. And you gave me a list of questions here about the Grandparents' Day of Prayer. And the first one says, what is it? What's it intended to do? And you've already answered that and how it got started. Why is Grandparents' Day of Prayer important? What are the objectives of it?
Well, it's important, as we discussed yesterday, because that's one of the most intentional things that we can do. And I believe very much in the importance and power of prayer. In fact, one of the things that I've appreciated is Mark Batterson's little book, Prayer Circles. And in it, he's challenging us to gather as individual parents and members of the congregation around our children and pray. What we're trying to do with this is to build even bigger than that and say, let's not just make it individuals circling around their children and grandchildren. Let's do it together. Let's make a big circle, linking arms to pray, because we believe that lives are transformed by the power of God, not just by our actions. So if we want to be conduits of God's transformational grace and blessing, I think prayer is the most powerful pipeline that we can have for making that happen. So that's part of it. And the other part of it is that we are wanting grandparents then to say, okay, wasn't this an exciting time for us to be able to gather together to pray? Let's do this on an ongoing basis. Let's form gap groups, grandparents at prayer, and let's get together on a regular basis and pray over our families.
How widely is this celebrated?
Well, we are a small organization, but we have hundreds of groups right now who are doing this, and churches who are doing this in the United States. We have scores of churches in South Africa who have picked up on this and are really enthusiastic about doing this day of prayer, which is why we don't call it National Grandparents' Day. It's
really
much, we just call it Grandparents' Day of Prayer.
Yeah.
We have people in the UK, we have people in Canada, we have people in Australia who are joining with us in this day of prayer.
Hmm. What a great concept, and I hope that the program we're doing today will help get it out there. We will also put this on the internet. You would like it to be recognized every year.
Every year.
For grandparents.
And our goal is to get churches to embrace this and call their grandparents together for prayer. And it's not that it has to be limited to grandparents, but it's specifically targeting grandparents to say, let's start the charge here.
Hmm. Are there resources available to help people do this intelligently and with intention?
Yes. Besides some of the resources they would find on the Grandparents' Day of Prayer website, our national prayer coordinator, Lillian Penner, I mentioned earlier, has written a book called Grandparenting with a Purpose, Effective Ways to Pray for Your Grandchildren. And so that's an important resource that I think
can
grandparents—
Can they get that
They can
from
get
you?
That right from our website. Either of those websites, they can find it. And we would love to be able to put that in their hands. There are other prayer resources that you will find on our website as well. Mark Batterson's book I mentioned earlier. But we want grandparents to recognize it's just about doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a complicated thing to pray. Yeah. It's just a matter of doing it, being intentional.
Kevin, I want to do something I rarely do here on this broadcast. I want to read to you and to our listeners, because there's a very inspirational story about grandparenting that appeared in my book, Bringing Up Boys. And before we came into the studio today, I asked a staff member to find that copy for me and to bring it to me, and I have it in front of me. I hope I don't put people to sleep, but let me read to you what I wrote there. I said, I can't tell you how many Christians have told me they accepted Christ as adults because of the early training given to them by their grandparents. Jeffrey Canada is an African-American man who grew up in the streets of the Bronx. He is the author of the book Reaching Up for Manhood, Transforming the Lives of Boys in America. In it, he shares some of his personal experiences and tells how he overcame many adverse circumstances. Canada gives great credit to his grandmother, who eventually turned him around and gave him a moral compass. He relates a story about her final days while dying of cancer. It was during a terribly difficult period of his own life. Both his brother and his infant son had recently died. This is what he wrote. In other words, this is in his book. I might have been able to accept one of those deaths, but not all three. Why had God taken my infant son, my brother whom I worshiped, and now was going to take my grandmother whom I cherished? The answer to me was that there was simply no God. Not only did I doubt the existence of God, but my own life lost meaning. Why was I working so hard in college, away from my family and friends, sacrificing so much when death could come at any instant, making all my hard work folly? When I went home to see my grandmother, she was bedridden. The cancer had robbed her of her strength and would soon take her life. Right before I went back to school, I went into her room and I asked her the question that was tearing me apart. I know it was selfish of me to ask her of this while she was dying, but I had to know. Grandma, do you still believe in God? Of course I do. Why do you ask me that? Because you're sick. You have cancer. Being sick doesn't have anything to do with faith. But how can you have faith when God has done this to you, made you suffer, and for what? What did you do to offend God so much that you have to be in pain like this? Jeffrey, listen to me. I know you've been through so much with the loss of your son and your brother, but don't lose faith in God or yourself. God has a plan, and you're part of it, so you can't give up. Faith is not something you believe in until things don't go your way. It's not like rooting for a football team and then when they start losing, changing sides and rooting for another team. Faith means you believe no matter what. Do you hear me? It's easy to have faith when you have $1 million and you're in perfect health. Do you think that proves anything to God? Your problem is that you think if you study your books hard that you will find all the answers. All the answers aren't in the books. They never will be. So, do I believe in God? Yes, more now than ever before. I reluctantly went back to Bowdoin, where he was attending college, after spending a week with my grandmother, not knowing that this was to be the last time I would ever talk to her or see her again. She died within weeks of my leaving. I spent the rest of my sophomore year in a daze. The combined losses was too much to comprehend, but I knew that I had to keep trying. Not lose my faith because that's what my grandmother wanted. When I became suddenly frightened or depressed and found that my faith was weak and couldn't sustain me, I felt I could borrow my grandmother's faith. Even though she was no longer alive, her faith was real and tangible to me. Many a night I leaned on her faith when I felt my own couldn't support my doubts. Every child needs a grandmother like mine in their lives, a person who is older and wiser and is willing to fight for as long as it takes for that child's soul, a person who is willing to hold his or her life up as an example of faith, a person who both forgives and teaches forgiveness, a person whose abundance of faith will be there in sufficient supply when children need it, because sooner or later, children need more faith than they possess, and that's where we come in. With that, I will hasten to a closing thought, and I went on to give my interpretation of what I've just heard. I've read that because what a great example of a grandmother who ministered to her grandson in a time of confusion and doubt and gave him the strength and the faith to continue even after her death. There she lay dying of cancer, and she did what a grandmother needs to do in a moment like that, and a grandfather too. What a great example. Isn't that a wonderful story?
It is, and who is better in the position to be able to share those kinds of things than those who have been around the block a few times already? Mm. And because faith is really not so much about trying to figure out what's ahead as it is looking back and seeing God's faithfulness, which is what she was doing. She was pointing to God's faithfulness in it all and knowing that what lies ahead. Who better can communicate that than a grandparent who's been down the road?
Well, that's why I appreciate your book and why I appreciate this conversation, because grandparents are in a little different role than their parents.
They are.
You know, their parents are disciplining and training and guiding and making them do the homework and all those things.
24/7.
Yeah. But a grandparent is out there with a little different responsibility and different role. And I believe it is God-ordained.
I agree with you 100%. And it's not only a different role, it's a different relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a relationship that is really hard to describe in words, but there is something unique about a grandchild-grandparent relationship that is not the same as a parent-child.
Have you had an opportunity to be in a role like this with one of your nine?
I have not, because I've not been in a situation
where that's kind of a crisis.
But I have had the situation. I have a prodigal grandson. Hmm. He's 18 years old, and just in the last year and a half, he's just turned his back on God and everything and gone off in a really different direction.
Breaks your heart, doesn't it?
Breaks my heart. But I've had the opportunity just a few weeks ago to sit down with him at breakfast and just to be able to share with him that, you know, no matter what you do, I am going to love you and I'm going to be there for you. But what I want and what I desire, I believe, is what God wants for your life, and that is he wants the very best. He wants you to know the truth. He wants you to know what is really good for your soul and good for your life, and to walk in that truth. So if you want to know anything about life and you've got questions about things, I'm here for you. I want to help you walk this journey because I want to see you succeed, maybe not as you see success. I want you to succeed in a way that is going to be really what God designed for you and is going to be your ultimate source of satisfaction and delight. Not the things that you're pursuing now.
But you have to be ready for those moments because you don't know when they're coming.
I have to be ready. Absolutely ready. In fact, my prayer, Michael O'Brien's a Christian artist, and he wrote this song that has become kind of my prayer. It's called Petition. And he says, "Let thy ways, Lord, be my compass. Let my heart be thine complete. Let my failures, every trouble, let my friends to thee release." And then he goes on to say, "Let thy glory be my crown. Let thy word, Lord, be my comfort. Let my soul be thine to keep. Let my life dwell in thy shadow. Let my faith still rest in thee." Amen. I pray that prayer not only for myself, but I pray that for my grandson.
Mm. You know, I want to explain to you why I got choked up a minute ago reading this. I had difficulty reading the last portion of it, and there's a reason for it. Because my mother's mother had cancer, and I came to see her at the hospital, and I was only about 10 or 11 years old. And I stood at her bedside, and she was in the last days of her life. And she looked up at me, and she could hardly talk because she was in a lot of pain. In fact, what Canada experienced with his grandmother, I experienced with mine. And she looked up at me and she kind of prophesied about me. And she said something about my faith and my love for the Lord. And then she said, and she was wrong about this, but she said, "You're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ all across this country." Well, I'm not a preacher, and I didn't get called into the ministry, but I've been talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I think you boldly proclaimed it across the world.
Yeah. And I stood there and listened to her, and I never forgot what she said.
You know, those are the kinds of things, those are like words of transformational blessing in a child's life, to be able to hear a grandparent speak those things that says, "I believe in you. I believe in God's plan and purpose for your life. And I am going to be walking with you and praying with you and cheering you on until you cross the finish line, until I cross the finish line."
Gary Smalley and John Trent wrote a book called The Blessing. And they talked about the fact this is a biblical concept of laying your hands on the younger generation, whether they're children or grandchildren, and praying for them and blessing their lives. And I think we ought to do that.
And why aren't we teaching and preaching more about that? It was their book that inspired me to begin making a focus on this whole issue of blessing in our grand camps. And I can't tell you how many stories and the times that we are sitting there through these ceremonies and everybody's weeping as this grandparent is speaking these words of just their heart and soul wanting to speak into this child's life, how powerful that is.
You know, I interviewed Gary and John on that book in 1983, and it had quite an impact on me because it is still with me today.
That's probably about the time that I picked up a copy of that book and never read it until after my grandchildren were born.
Right?
I'm thinking, why didn't I read this thing
well,
earlier?
Well, he was also talking about your children, you know.
He was. But as a grandparent,
I'm thinking— patriarchs. Well, our time is gone quickly. I'm sorry for taking so much of the time on that story, but
that
I think the Lord wanted me to do it. And it spoke to me, and maybe it will minister to others.
Sure.
And this book is going to minister to many people. The title of it is Courageous Grandparenting, Unshakable Faith in a Broken World. And it does take courage to set aside the time and the training to be of influence to your children and grandchildren. We're so busy. We're doing so many things. We're racing and running. We're going on vacations. We're watching television. And we forget the one primary thing we're here to do, which is to pass along our faith to the next generation. And if we falter in that, if we fail in that, not only do we not reach our own children and grandchildren, who we will never see again if they don't know Christ and they die in an unrepentant state, but we also break the chain for the next generation
Amen.
And those to
Amen.
Come.
Amen.
And that's what the Scripture tells us to do. Kevin, you're a good man. I'm glad to have a chance
to work with you, Dr. Dobson.
And what a pleasure to have you come by.
My pleasure.
Nearby here, so come see us again, will you?
I'd love to.
All right.
Oh, what an awesome opportunity to hear two committed and courageous grandfathers talking about the power of praying grandparents in the lives of grandchildren. I hope grandparents everywhere will join the battle for the hearts and minds of the next generation and leave a legacy that will impact this nation for decades to come. I can tell you firsthand, my parents pray for my kids, their grandkids, every single day, and they care deeply about their lives and their faith in Jesus Christ. We've been listening to the conclusion of an interview between Dr. James Dobson and Kevin Harper here on Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and if you'd like more information about the Grandparents Day of Prayer, Kevin Harper's new book, Courageous Grandparenting, or the Christian Grandparenting Network, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Before we sign off for the day, let me remind you of our exciting offer. For every donation of $30 or more Family Talk receives this month only, we'll say thank you by sending you a copy of my latest book, Wanting to Believe, along with a corresponding DVD from our Building a Family Legacy film series. This offer is only available in the month of September, so take advantage today by calling us at 877-732-6825 or by clicking the tab at drjamesdobson.org. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.